And, of course, we will have that for you tomorrow morning starting at 9 with RM World Travel right here. 9:17, welcome to the Mary Griffith Show. Scott Hardy in for Mary. A busy, busy show coming up for you today. And immediately we started off with an event that is in Quincy today and tomorrow. Indies United Publishing, you've heard them before here on the show. They're hosting an author's retreat in Quincy with a lot of talented authors from around the country. One of them is here in studio. Glad to talk to him. Scott Allen Meehan. Good morning, Scott.
Hey, good morning, Scott.
Yes,
good start to the name itself, Scott.
Well, yes, indeed. I totally agree, Scott. It's a wonderful name, and it's the perfect name to have. The topics that you cover are pretty vast, aren't they?
Well, there is an underlying theme that's military-related because, you know, when you get into writing, they tell you to write what you know. And after 25 years in the service, that's what I know. I do kind of vary the themes, like military romance, military sci-fi, military thriller. There's a time travel. Yeah, so it spreads out as far as that goes. And there's also an underlining multicultural theme based also on my experiences in the military.
You joined in 1980 as a private, and then you retired, and you worked your way up the hard way. You made it all the way up to major.
That's correct. Yeah, I did. I came in 1980 as a private, straight off the street, and after 7 years, got out, went to college, got my degree in teaching, and then also at ROTC at the same time. And so I came back in 1990, just in time for Desert Storm. Welcome back.
Yeah.
And then finished up in 2005 is when I retired as a major after two straight tours in Iraq. And then after I retired, I went back a third time working for a company.
All right. So you are very familiar then with what was going on at the time over in Iraq with all the tours that you have taken. And like you said earlier, you've kind of woven that into your work. Did that start with the first book? Tell me about the first book that you have, Prince of Babylon.
Okay, Prince of Babylon, that was a lot of that information or live experiences were worked into that. It's kind of a loose interpretation of my experience mixed in with, some ad-lib thrillers and suspense. In addition to the other author that helped me write it, he was more in the theology, and I don't know if you've ever heard of Frank Peretti. He wrote books back in the 90s like This Present Darkness, Piercing the Darkness. That was way before the angels and demons thing, but it's a kind of a background of the spiritual world in behind the scenes, and so he added that part into it. So it's a military thriller, but it's also a military fantasy or sci-fi, however you wish to put it. But it blends in a lot with my background at the same time.
Sure, sure. I don't know why I thought about this, but I guess kind of like the topics that we're touching. One of the oddest stories that ever came out of Iraq and the U.S. involvement in it is that there are several stories that are just kind of floating out there, thank you, Internet, about the fact that U.S. Army troops encountered like a race of giants or something like that. It's like, where does that even come from?
That's a good question, because I haven't even heard of that one.
Yeah.
I was more grounded than that.
You probably were. You probably were. I don't know where this came from, but it's just, I mean, if you stumble around the Internet, you'll find it, but it's just like, you know, there's no sources cited or anything like that, no pictures,
right.
No eyewitnesses, nothing like that.
Not surprising. I mean, I have my own legends myself. I was bitten by these... I don't know, I guess they were sand fleas or sandbugs. You barely see them. But anyways, I have my own method of getting rid of them. I don't know how much time you have, I can tell you about one.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, so these things are eating me up and in my trailer. So I went and got one of these cans of bug spray from the supply. In fact, it was so bad. It was a black can. It had the skull and crossbones on the outside. It's a danger, you don't, you know. So anyway.
But at that point, you didn't care.
Yeah. So I got up early in the morning. I turned my AC full blast to the coldest it'll get, and the fan on as far as I get. And then just before I shut the door leaving for work, I emptied out that can spray in my room and took off for work. And typically, I was at Camp Anaconda, which is in Balad, and typically we work till 11, well, we could work 24/7, but around 10 or 11, I finally decided to come back to my trailer so I can at least get some sleep. So when I got back to the trailer that night, it was ice cold, like walking into a refrigerator.
Mm-hmm.
Walked back, there's a little side bathroom that attached to it, so I went back there, turned on the light, and my wall was covered with these little critters.
Wow.
It was like whatever, with the wind and the spray, it must have taken them back there and pasted them against the wall. So I was real curious as to see what one of these things looked like up close. Scraped it on one of them off the wall, the piece of paper, and used my magnifying glass and checked it out. And here's my description from what I saw.
Mm-hmm.
That little critter was wearing a Kevlar helmet. He had those goggles on. His nose was a sword. His teeth were shark teeth. His body was like a cross between a seahorse and the tail was a scorpion, and he had wings. So my conclusion was these aren't normal sandflies. These must be Saddam-induced biological warfare sandflies.
Tell you what, you blow it up by about 10 times, and I'm already thinking like you set it in a different world and raiders riding on those things and attacking somebody, and
yeah.
You've got the start of a novel right there.
Yeah. Well, so anyways, I can see where your legends come from. Now, there are some truth stories that are pretty good. You'll probably hear a lot of different ways and reasons how Saddam Hussein was found out, and I can tell you what I know. Because it was only less than, 60 miles north of us outside of Tikrit in a place called Anduar, and I was in Balad. So, and this is pretty relevant to what I wrote in my memoirs, and that is while I was in there, I was a contingency contracting officer, and it was my job to supply the troops with materials, products, services that they needed. And so, of course, we went out at the beginning of the war, we went out locally to procure these contracts. And in my mind, I didn't care if they were Sunni, Shia, Kurd, Christian. If they had the right product or service, I would hire them. In time, I developed a relationship with the locals. I was putting food on their table, mm-hmm. literally. So, pretty soon the word got out when he came into the camp, Anaconda, that, we need to see, when they ask him, what's your business? Well, we need to see the contracting officer. Well, that turned to, we need to see Major Meehan, because, the word got out. And there was one day when one of the vendors came and says, my cousins know some information that's important, but they don't trust Americans. I told them that they can trust you. And, cousins, that's the common term they use when they don't want you to know who they're talking to. So I said, okay, that's great, thanks. If they want to talk, bring them up and I'll listen to them. But, if what they say is important, I may have to have them talk to one of my friends. I didn't say intel, even though I had friends in intel. I said one of my friends. So the next day I was surprised. He brought two guys. We went out to the field. So what's going on? And basically told me that through interpretation, that guy interpreted, that they know where a safe house was in Baghdad where Saddam's people were staying. I said, yeah, that's pretty important. I need you to talk to my friend. So I took him over there, and I had already warned him the day before that I might have some human intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
And so after about 2 hours, they came back, said they were done. We went back out to the field and talked, and they thanked me. I thanked them. I asked if they took care of you. You probably won't see us again. And say, great. So 10 days later, they're pulling Saddam out of the hole. And at the time, I didn't think anything of it. We got him. Good.
Yeah.
It wasn't until later that I got the backstory, is that those guys who talked that came to me told them where that safe house was. They raided that safe house. They gathered all these Saddam's people. One of them was his driver, and the driver was the one who fingered where he was hiding.
Yeah, because he was hiding, in fact, near Tikrit, because that's where he started, and it was his kind of like his homeland, and he knew he had people there that would help him.
Yeah, but he was out in the boonies. He had a little hole, spider hole, for himself. But anyways, that So in an indirect way, I help with the capture of Saddam. I write it that way.
Well, congratulations. Yeah. Tell me, I'm really fascinated reading the details about this. The novel that you wrote, first called Eternal Eye, but now called Duty Recall.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds a little bit familiar, but you've based it on your experiences.
To a degree. It's a lot of it's fantasy since it's time travel. But yes, it ties two of my experiences. One is, we were on a flight going home for Christmas out of Balad in 03. And fortunately, and I was happy, we made it home, had a great Christmas, came back. But in the book, the plane gets shot down. There's one survivor. The name, it's not my real name, but I'm the character. And when he wakes up at Walter Reed, he wakes up and he doesn't realize it at first, but then he starts seeing some strange things, like his wife looking 10 years younger, because he wakes up in 1991, and, you know, and he's being told that, yeah, you were in a IED Desert Storm. And so he's reliving the 90s, and so I take that book from there. And what he does in the 90s and his dilemmas, what he faces. And, oh, by the way, since he knows things, he makes a whole lot of money. But to keep suspicion away from him, he starts a separate account under a different name and all that. And they actually live pretty well. And his wife's trying to figure out how well why they're being so well, you know.
Sure. Yeah, but it reminds me of a movie that Hollywood made in the early 80s. But this premise was that a 1980s U.S. battleship, rather, mm-hmm. an aircraft carrier, sailed into a storm and landed near Hawaii on December 6, 1941.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, exactly. And it was interesting in terms of the ethical dilemma that they were in and how they thought about it as well. So. Yeah, I imagine that kind of crossed your mind, too, in terms of, like, how do I do this to, you know, not be, you know.
Well, I'd like to say I read that and it crossed my mind, but I wasn't aware of it until afterwards. Someone said, you know, what you wrote is kind of like this book. And
right.
Somebody else told me that Stephen King did one on JFK also. So I was looking up the date. Did he beat me to it? Because, I didn't look at any of these when I did. It was just something that came out of my mind when I was doing it. Based on my two experiences, the Iraqi freedom and the Desert Storm. But rather than making it a sequential, normal, like a memoir, I kind of reversed it and took me back in the time and all the different things that could have. So it's a big what if. And that's a lot of what I teach when I teach 8th grade U.S. history. Is what if? What if this happened? And a lot of my short stories nowadays are what if. For example, what if Stonewall Jackson did not get shot by his own men, and he led the Confederate troops in at Gettysburg. Very very strong chance they could have won that and changed the whole tide of the war, and the Confederacy could have won. I mean, all these little what ifs. In fact, I wrote a short story recently. It might be the one, I can't remember which short story I submitted to who. It might be the one that might be getting an award for tomorrow, and that is the time travel, the perennial soldiers are sent back in the time during that time period because the enemy, and I won't say who in the book, but the enemy sent their AI in the time to take out those soldiers who shot Stonewall Jackson so that Stonewall lives and the Confederate wins and changing the whole tide of history. So these perennial soldiers go there and make sure that Stonewall Jackson soldiers stay alive, and they have to get rid of the entity, and so that they do shoot Stonewall, and the rest is history. And then as they get ready to go home, they find out they had a backup plan. They had somebody sent to Gettysburg itself to take out top generals, so they have to go there and straighten that out.
Right, yeah. There's all sorts of questions about what if in history that you could ask. And, you know, like, for instance, like back in 1915 during World War One, what if Winston Churchill had been so discredited after Gallipoli that he never served in government again?
That's true.
Yeah.
These are all good points you have to bring up.
Yeah, so...
You bring up a good point.
Scott Allen Meehan is my guest, a retired Army veteran, middle school history teacher of U.S. history, and quite the prolific offer as well. In town today and tomorrow, and for Indies United Publishing and the Authors Retreat going on both days, just look up Indies United online for more information about that. It's been my pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Scott. Thanks for having me. It sounded like from the beginning that Quincy's a hopping place, all that stuff going on. So I'm looking forward to my next 2 days here.
Yeah, it should be fun. You can get, you know, go to South Park. Steve will take you. He'll know. But yeah, get different types of brats and German beer and have a good time.
Oh, okay, sounds good. All right. Thanks a lot, Scott.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
9:32, when we come back, we will take our first look at the latest commodity prices from the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange here. It's the Mary Griffith Show on WTAD. All righty, 9:34, let's get your first update on the day on the latest commodity prices from the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange, and we go to the IRSA Farmers Co-op for the latest. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning. Corn for July is up at 440. September, it's down one at 429. Soybeans for July is up one at 1052. August, it's down at 1046. Wheat for July is up one at 543. Soybean meal for July is up or down one at 295. Lean hogs for July is up one at 106.07. Feeder cattle for August is down at 308.50. Live cattle for August is up at 216.97. Crude oil is up at 63.24. And the Dow Jones is up 472 at 42,841. Thank you.
Welcome back to the Mary Griffith Show on a cloudy, foggy day still. That fog is supposed to burn off here momentarily, but it's no help to you folks driving the detour from the Hannibal Bridge, that's for sure. So be careful there in the bottomlands there. The floodplain gets pretty foggy there. Let's talk things Rotary, the Rotary Club of Quincy. Rick Halter with the Rotary Club is here. Good morning, Rick.
And good morning, Scott.
Glad to have you along here. And, of course, the Rotary Club, you do so many wonderful things in the community. You're always raising money for a cause. What are you guys working on here at the moment?
Well, I mean, we've had several projects that go, we've done things over the years all the way back to 1917 when we put in the south, the shelter at South Park. And so the projects we've got now, we've done some things with John Wood recently. We've put things down at Bob Banger Park. We've got a couple other ones that we're working on. We've always been involved with the Cleaner Trail. So we've got several things working, but just our normal volunteer community days, just like today is United Way Day of Volunteering. And there are Rotary members out there actually up in IRSA at the retreat house up there.
So they are basically have rolled up their sleeve and are doing some work.
Yeah, that's what our club does. I mean, we are a professional-based but a community service organization. We know, you know, the community's been good to us. We give back to the community. And then on the side, have a little fun.
That you do. It's always a fun time there. I've been to a few meetings. It's been a while, but I've been to a few. And, yeah, it's always a lot of fun. Everybody, you have your little rituals and things like that. And just, you know, everybody, you know, jokes around. But in the end, you're doing a very good cause for the community. So what are some things that you've got coming up here very, very soon that you want folks to know about?
Well, we have, just our normal meetings that are Tuesday at the Holiday Inn. And we invite anyone who's a professional or a business owner, if they're interested, just to stop by. We'd love to talk to you. I'm at Mercantile Bank. You could call me. I'd be glad to tell you about how Rotary works. We have programs coming up here. You know, we always have programs that's coming up here next week. We have Arts Quincy with Laura Sievert Hasselton. Coming up, you know, the week after that, we have Angela Caldwell coming in to talk about the QHS Community School Court, who's the Community School Coordinator. With that, then, you know, events that we have coming up, our big one is always Oktoberfest. That's on September 27th. I know that's a little out, but it's ironic because the German Fest is this weekend, but we do Oktoberfest here in late September. We have, and then our other date to be determined yet, we always do a big program, a bourbon night that raises money for Polio Plus which is an extremely important cause for Rotary for the last 40 years.
And I have to admit, the first time I heard about that, I didn't think to myself, oh, this is a worldwide thing. I was just thinking to myself, you know, here in this country, we don't deal much with polio, but that doesn't mean that the rest of the world doesn't.
Yes, and the thing is for, you know, I'm kind of at the edge of that era, but if you talk to people back in the 30s, 40s, and 50s, polio was a horrible thing that was even in the States. And it was a worldwide horrible thing. Vaccines were developed, basically knocked it out of the United States, but it was still worldwide. And Rotary is a worldwide organization. We have over 45,000 clubs. They decided about 40 years ago that they were going to put their money, time, and efforts in coordinating with other foundations and countries to get this get the polio out. They've got it down to, and it's sad, they've got it so close, but they've got it basically pretty much confined to Afghanistan and Pakistan, two of the toughest countries in the world. You know, there's times they only get three or four cases out in the wild, and then it pops up. And you got to have it, no cases show up for a certain amount of years that you can say it's eradicated, like smallpox. So, yeah, a lot of people don't understand that, but, you know, if you talk to older folks in the world, what a scourge that disease was. This is something that polio, you know, at Rotary Club, we've put in over the years hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars to work to get out in these remote areas and get things vaccinated and get rid of this awful disease. And so, you know, outside of all the things we do local, that's one of our worldwide causes.
Yeah, because I, you know, being born in the early 60s, of course, it was, you know, the Salk vaccine was already prevalent by that time. But, yeah, it's like you look back and you kind of read stories about it, and just hearing parents, you know, having to deal with that, you know, hearing that their child was diagnosed with it, it was like, you know, it's like, you know, it was like the worst thing in the world that could happen. And my gosh, just to try to go to those two countries, you know, their border is one of the most dangerous places in the entire world. And then to try to be with an aid organization and saying, no, we're here to help. We want to get rid of, you know, polio. And it's like, you know, the level of mistrust is somewhat high.
Yeah, and what's ironic, even in Afghanistan with, you know, the Taliban taking over, I mean, even they get that this is important. And of all the things that they will do is they will actually let these aid organizations come in. And, yeah, you have to get past the mistrust. But once again, whereas you had a worldwide scourge that's down to, you know, 10, 15, 20 cases a year, you know, that it's just, you know, you're just trying to get the last, you know, the last mile and get it done.
Yeah, exactly. Because it would be nice if that could be put on the ash heap of history like smallpox was. So your meetings with the speakers that you have, it's really a great way for somebody fairly new to Quincy to really get involved and to really get plugged in with how things work in the town and who the people are that are like doing things, because you're going to meet them because they all come to speak to you guys.
Right. Scott, it's you know, our organization, like I said, is and it's interesting you talk about it that way, because someone comes in and they want to get a great cross-section of the professional community in Quincy and business owners. That's a great place to be. And you know, and it, ironically, though, with this, because what we have right now is we have a great group of older, established men and women that have been there for years, and then we have this great group of 20-somes and early 30-some members that they bring a lot of energy and a lot of fun. And so with that, you know, like I said, you get the wide cross section of the professional community that's good on that side. And then what ends up, you end up realizing that you're making friends and you're having fun. And on top of that, you know what, you can get back, you know, have a way to work through Rotary to help give back to the community. So it's there's a lot of good things there.
Yeah. I mean, obviously Laura knows that. She's going to be telling you about all the things that Arts Quincy does and the involvement in the community and everything else. And she'll might be asking for a donation, but it's for a good cause, because they've had some of their funding cut by the federal government. So, and that's to provide art supplies to kids. So things like that. But yeah, it's a way that these organizations are going to reach people who are going to be able to make things happen, and it's all right there in one room.
Yeah, and you know, and Laura will do a wonderful job talking about, and it helps our members too understand. You know, once again, we go back out into the community and say, okay, there's things, you know, what can we do, and so we work with Horizons and places like that. But part of that's, as you describe, they come and do programs, and then we look at each other and say, hey, this is something else that we can, as a group, step into and help and give back.
Yeah, and that just must be a really nice feeling, knowing that you're able to do that when somebody makes an appeal like that.
Yeah, and we have appeals, we have great informative programs, a lot of fun programs, and it's a great mixture of things that goes into the melting pot of what Rotary is that makes it a wonderful organization.
Yeah, and just from the description that you gave as well about the makeup of the members, it sounds like, you're always looking for new members, but it sounds like you're really going in the right direction with the mix of people that you have.
Yeah, and the challenge for every – we have wonderful service clubs in town, not just Rotary, but, love Rotary. There's a lot of great service organizations. Volunteerism and getting involved is a challenge for everybody. But once again, I say look at the people that we've had join our organization, and these are the future leaders of the community. And so I see the mix of the experienced veterans, for lack of a better description, and our new younger group coming in, and so I still see volunteerism work and service to the community and having fun at the same time and making friends. Like I said, it's a great combination. Yeah. And so that's why I encourage anyone who's interested in that type of situation, that Rotary is a great vehicle for that.
Yeah, Rick Halter with Mercantile Bank talking about the Rotary Club of Quincy. You meet at noon at the Holiday Inn, and the chipped beef on toast that they give you is not too bad either.
You know what? Food's pretty darn good. We meet on every Tuesday at noon. It's several notches above the chipped beef and toast. Actually, it's funny. I've been a Rotary member since 1987 in a couple different places. I can tell you the food is pretty darn good over there.
That was an old Jack Buck's joke that I stole from way back in the day, so I had to throw it in there. But it's really nice. It's a testament to Quincy that you have all these service groups and that they all kind of realize, hey, let's not step on each other's toes. We've got our things to raise money for. You've got yours. Like Breakfast Kiwanis, rather, has one thing. Regular Kiwanis has another. You guys have other things. And you don't get in each other's way, and you even lend help to each other if need be.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's little things like even the fun rivalries. At Christmas, us and the Kiwanis both ring bells for Salvation Army. Once again, one of those many projects that we do as Rotarians. And so there's always a little back and forth of, okay, who's going to ring more bells and raise more money.
Right.
There's a lot of good service clubs in town. And as you said, we respect each other at times and coordinate and work with each other. But like I said, Rotary actually is, approximately 110-year-old club here in town. So, it's steeped in tradition and, how we give back to the community. And like you said, we have our niches international and then local in terms of what we do and what we give back. You can see the gazebo down in Clad Adams Park. That was a Rotary project many years ago. So, like I said, we do things that are physical, and you can see what's done. There's a lot of things we do behind the scenes in terms of volunteerism and helping organizations that, there's not a plaque or anything out there, but those are the things we do that try to help make the community better.
Right, but they know, and the people who need to know, they know as well, and that's the most important part.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Talking it over with Rick Halter, Mercantile Bank, talking about the Rotary Club, and of course, let's talk a little bit more about Oktoberfest, which due to a quirk in scheduling, will be in late September this year.
Well, what I tell everybody, if you look at Germany, mm-hmm. almost all their Oktoberfest are in September.
Yeah.
And so we get that question a lot, but Oktoberfest will be on September 27th this year. It's just a great time. We bring in German bands. In the evening, we have a band that's more for the younger crowd. Great, our Rotary guys. We have a Rotary cook crew that's their thing every year, and they do a great job and get all the brats and German food that you would want to get. You know, we've had tours of the tunnels down there. It's just in a great older area, in that old Dick's Brewing area. It's just an annual tradition that a lot of people come. It's just a great thing. And once again, it's something to put back for the community and celebrate our German heritage.
Yeah, and that particular area of town has really turned into a place where a lot of people like to go and just to have events that are going on, because it's, well, A, it's so easy to set up. You just block off the street there and you're ready to go. And plus, you know, all the old buildings that are around it, not just the brewery, but on the other side too and up the street. It's just a really neat place to hold something.
Yeah, it's the whole, you know, call it the environment, the ambiance, but mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a celebration of old Quincy.
Yeah, exactly. It is, folks. So once again, if you are interested, if you've heard all of this and you say, I'd like to be a Rotarian, Rick, what do they need to do?
Well, once again, you are welcome to stop by for, we'll get you a lunch. And if you come in and say, hey, I've heard about Rotary, we'll sit you down. We'll, you know, invite you to one of our tables. We'll talk to you. Like I said, our members like to talk. So you won't have any problem with that. But, you know, that's a young professional or business person. We'd be glad to talk to you there. Like I said, you can call Mercantile Bank and ask for Rick Halter and just say, hey, I'm interested in Rotary. We'd be glad to do that. And like I said, it's just a great organization, and we'd be willing to show you what it is.
All right, very good. Rick Halter with Mercantile Bank talking about the Rotary Club of Quincy. They meet every Tuesday at noon at the Holiday Inn. You should check it out, and you'll probably get a lot more out of it than you even put in. So find that out for yourself. Rick, it's a pleasure to meet you. Thanks for talking. We appreciate it very, very much.
Been a pleasure,
all
Scott.
Right.
Thank you.
You betcha. We're at 9:50. Coming back, we hope to hear from folks with the Quincy Public Library on the way here on the Mary Griffith Show on WTAD. Welcome back to the Mary Griffith Show. Scott Hardy in for Mary at 9:53, and I've been remiss because I didn't tell you that the Mary Griffith Show is sponsored by Harvest Ridge Coffee. They're premier coffees and roasted and delivered in small batches, hand-roasted and delivered fresh to make sure that you get a rich, sophisticated, delicious coffee experience. And I was worried about you for a second, Kathleen Hilsbeck from the Quincy Public Library, but you made it in.
I did make it in.
Good, good, good. Glad to have you along. We've got you here for about the next 6 minutes. And
yes.
What's going on at the QPL?
Yes, so much is going on because summer reading has begun. We had a wonderful kickoff party last Saturday, and it continues in through July 30th. So we encourage everybody in the community to sign up for summer reading program.
Yeah, yeah, and because the kids who are involved in it, they get so much out of it, don't they?
They do. There's reading the challenge on Beanstack app, or so you can just download that, start reading. It's called Beanstack Tracker. Or if you want to, just come to the library and pick up a paper log and start recording your minutes on the paper log. And you're eligible for incentives, prizes. We have prize baskets for the children, teens, and adults. The adults is a Experience Quincy basket where there's gift certificates from all over Quincy to do fun experiential things, restaurants, activities and things like that. So that's really cool. That's been really popular the last several years since Rochelle started doing that.
I bet it has.
And then what we're really grateful for is that the local Botley Lodge Masons group, they donate 4 brand new bikes from Madison Davis every year for our kids to win, in addition to the prize baskets. So there's so many incentives, physically, tangible, prizes that you can win, and then your own satisfaction of how many minutes you can read,
yeah,
which is really exciting.
Yeah, and as you've pointed out before, and studies show that kids who are into reading more, and even at the earlier ages where they're read too, it just helps in their schoolwork and their development, and
yes,
it just makes them better, well-rounded
yes
people.
Yes, and then tomorrow we have a huge day at the library,
yeah,
Saturday. Tomorrow, Saturday, June 7th, right?
It all kind of blends together, I know.
Yes.
Trust me, I know. Yeah.
Yes. In the morning, we have 2 programs, one for children and families, the other one for adults, more geared. Pete the Cat is coming to Quincy Public Library. Pete the Cat is traveling all around the local libraries in this West Central area through a grant from Tracy Family Foundation. And so we're really excited to have Pete the Cat come tomorrow morning. Everybody gets to meet him. There'll be a book read. There'll be some activities, which is really exciting. So parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, bring your little ones to the library for Pete the Cat.
And when will that be? Like about 10 a.m.?
I think so.
Okay.
Yes.
All righty.
Yes.
And what's for adults tomorrow?
Yes. Tomorrow we're celebrating Juneteenth, a Juneteenth program with Southern food. And it's a program by a local person who's going to share. And there's actually going to be samples to try. So come down from 10 to 12 tomorrow at the library in the large meeting room and learn about cuisine, Southern cuisine, and our celebration of the African American culture, the Black culture, and celebrating Juneteenth here in Quincy Public Library.
That sounds wonderful, and it's so funny how that has turned out, because a lot of Southern cuisine back in the time, it was like folks weren't rich, so they made do with what they
did. And it's so rich. It's just so wonderful.
Yeah, and it turns like collard greens. Back in the day, most people were like, you know, high society, no thank you. But, you know, that and oxtail and things like that, and it's like, we don't. But now, give me some because it's so good. Yeah.
Right. Yes, they flavored it so well. It's so fun. And so there's going to be a program for the patrons to learn about it and then also to sample. So come on down.
Very good. So all that is going on Saturday in the morning. So get up. Don't worry if it's like a little threat of rain. It's all inside. So be sure to check that out. And, of course, real quick, in about the minute or so that we've got left, coming up on July 30th, of course, the wrap-up for the Kids Read. That's a party for everybody.
It is a party for everybody, yes. We're going to, July 30th, come and celebrate all that you've read. We will have pizza and beverages to celebrate for those adults who read 7 hours or more, only 7 hours, and you can read to your child at the same time.
Yeah, and remember, you get those prizes of like gift certificates to Quincy restaurants and things like that. So, nothing wrong with a pizza and beverage party in late July too.
Right.
And the kids won't even know.
Right.
Until you start acting silly, and then they'll know.
beverage. So.
Well, there you go. So, and if folks want to know what's going on with the library, it's real easy to do. You can stop by.
Yep. QuincyLibrary.org.
All right. You can go there, but you can also stop by.
Yeah,
because I mean, you've got folks there at the front desk.
Yes. Experience the library. If you haven't been in a while, if it's been a few years, you don't know if your library card even works, come and experience the library. Check. Mm-hmm. Stop by the circulation desk, and they will get you all set and ready to go.
They'll get you a new one. They will.
Yes.
They want you to have one.
Yes.
In DVD. Yes. So, folks, always get to the library. Ever since the redecoration, I love the entrance there.
Yes.
when you enter, not so much off of Jersey, but in the rear there.
Right.
Love it.
Yes, Jersey's closed to the patrons.
Gotcha. Alrighty, thank you so much. We appreciate it very, very much. It's 10 o'clock, time for news.